Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You can actually go to the republicbroadcasting.org donate page and read instructions. You all can read. You can get money to republicbroadcasting.org, but you got to be careful about it so that it can actually be used, right? So right now, we can't accept checks made out to RBN, but the instructions will be up there. What to do with checks if you're going to write a check, what to do with PayPal if you want to donate by PayPal. But anyway, it can all be done because RBN is the center of free speech, and so you want to support that. And you can download the Co-Certified app, no restrictions there. Just do what you would always do, which is go to nationalbugle.com and look for it. It'll be right there on the upper right-hand side, that big Co-Certified button. Okay, today's Tuesday. Tuesday is our day when Mark Collett checks in. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's very good to be here, and it's great after hearing the sad news that RBN is still going and things are still moving here, because I said when we heard that sad news that I thought this radio station was very important. I think it does great work, and I hope that it carries on just as it was before. And great work and good luck to all those who are still pressing on and trying to find solutions to keep this project going ahead.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we're doing our best. There's no guarantees, but we're doing our best. But I was listening. I think it was Mike Rivera's show, and I heard a comment about there's a great deal of controversy over the Christmas advert from one of your leading supermarkets or department stores.
It's a department store this time.
Yeah. I know you cover this every year. We always talk about this every year, these Christmas adverts. Could they have possibly gotten any worse? Because they seemed pretty bad last time.
Well, that is an interesting question. And you have tempted fate by saying, could they get any worse? The answer is yes, they could get any worse. Yes, they have got worse. This year, I have done my yearly Christmas adverts video. And it's a bit different this year. In the past, I have done a roundup of all of the big adverts from the supermarkets, leading stores, adverts of note. I've talked about the adverts that even eBay have produced. I've done sort of a roundup, a selection of different adverts with my commentary over the top. However, this year we have a Christmas advert that is so bad, that is so anti-white, that I have in fact decided not to talk about any other adverts. That doesn't mean I won't in the future, but in the video I've done, I've decided not to talk about any other adverts. And the only advert I have talked about is this particular advert, because it's so bad, it's so blunt, it's so in your face, it's so blatantly anti-white, that I had to dedicate an entire video to this particular advert. And as people will know now, if they know me, I've been doing this since 2017, so this is the fifth year of Christmas advert videos I've done. So I don't take this lightly. I do it every year. The first time I did it, it was my first ever video to be taken down off YouTube and outright banned, because I had mentioned these stores. The YouTube later admitted, actually, that there was no infractions on the video. There was nothing actually wrong with the video. I hadn't broken any rules. I hadn't broken any T's and C's.
These stores were probably big sponsors.
Yeah, it was just copyright pressures that caused them to remove it. Now, obviously, what we're seeing here is a situation where we are actually facing a really serious sort of, how can I say it? An attack, really. It is an attack on our people. It is so vehemently anti-white, but as I'm only on BitChute and Odyssey now, it can't go on YouTube, so it's not really going to get taken down from anywhere, which is good. That's peace of mind. But this particular advert has been produced by John Lewis. Now, John Lewis is a major department store in the UK. It's meant to be not a exclusive or high-end place, but it's meant to be slightly classier. It's meant to be slightly higher up on the scale. This isn't a supermarket. This isn't a run-of-the-mill clothes store.
How would it compare with Grace Brothers?
I don't even know what that is.
Grace Brothers of Are You Being Served fame?
Oh, I don't. I actually don't. I have never seen that, so I don't know. But it's generally seen as quite a little bit more upper market place. And it is a department store. It seemed to be a little bit more classy. And this advert is the worst of the worst. And as I said, it isn't subtle. This is not a subtle advert. This isn't an advert which you think, oh, that'll get to the subconscious minds of the viewer. This is not something that is done gently. It's not a gentle prod. It's not a gentle nudge. It's not a push in the right direction. This is the equivalent of hitting you over the head with a steel pipe with the word multiculturalism and great replacement engraved down the side in huge, bold letters. This truly is the worst of the worst. So people who haven't seen my video will be thinking to themselves now, what is he talking about?
What's he talking about? Also, the company, you said it's Lewis. What was it? Something Lewis?
John Lewis.
And would they be, by any chance, could they be Jewish?
I'm not sure, but by the end of this, you will find out that there is a Jewish connection. You've just spoiled the whole Christmas surprise, Patrick. It's like you've told your viewers what's in the present before they've had a chance to unwrap it.
I don't know. Anyway, any of my audience would already be wondering about
that. Oh, well. The surprise is ruined now, Patrick. I don't know what I'm going to do now. We might as well finish the show. The surprise is over.
Let's go for it.
Advert is so bad because it starts in a very quaint, quintessentially British village. And the little boy is sitting on a bus and he sees a meteor crashing into a forest. And when he gets off the bus, he goes to investigate what he has seen. He goes to have a look at what has actually come to pass, what's crashed into the forest. He's a curious young lad. And there he finds a crashed alien spaceship. And this crashed alien spaceship contains a very live alien. And over the space of the sort of 2 to 3 minute advert, the little boy bonds with the alien and shares quintessentially British Christmas experiences with said alien. And the footage of the little boy and the alien is interspersed or is cut with material showing this little boy and his family having a quintessential British Christmas. So at first this sounds quite charming, sharing the spirit of Christmas with an alien. However, the twist comes in that the little boy and his family are black and the alien is white. The message in this advert is so naked, it's so blatant, and it is quite clearly that white people have been replaced in Britain. Blacks are the new natives, settled migrants are the new natives, and that whites are aliens in their own country. So not only the aliens...
When you say the alien's white, I mean, does the alien look like E.T., like a completely different...
No, the alien is a white girl. The alien is a white girl, and the little boy is a black boy. And the black boy has to teach the white alien the traditional Christmas routine, the traditional Christmas way of doing things. Christmas culture, British Christmas culture is taught to the white alien by the black boy.
How old are these kids?
They're young. And there's also some other anti-white bits interspersed. For example, Christmas dinner is a multiracial affair and the white person at the table is elderly. Like in all these adverts now, if you've noticed, every family now is either black or mixed race. And if they're mixed race or if there are white people sat at the family gathering. The white people at the family gathering are invariably elderly. They're on the way out, whereas all the children, the youngsters, are either mixed race or black. So the old, the outgoing, the previous is all white, whereas the new, the incoming, the virile, the young are all black or mixed race. And when they are mixed race, they are mixed race black. So they have Africanized features. And these things are all present in the advert. There's also sort of a grouchy old man who gets angry about the children messing about. So you've got, you know, an angry, fat, grouchy white guy. So there's other little subtle anti-white things throughout the advert. But the big thing in this particular piece is that the roles are reversed. The alien, the visitor, the outsider, the awkward one, she, and it's a girl, is white. And the new natives, the settled migrants, have to teach the white girl what Christmas is all about. And the really interesting thing about this is at the end, they even finish it off, as you probably expected, with a kiss.
They finish it off
with a kiss. And the kiss is the white girl deciding that she is going to kiss the black boy. That is how it ends. She kisses him. He stands there. She initiates the kiss. She goes forward. She leans in. She kisses him before she leaves. And the sort of moral of this story is that we are being replaced, that we're outsiders, that we are now the aliens. We are now the visitors. We're now not the owners of this land. This land is no longer ours. And this advert has actually caused quite a bit of outrage. And it's being heavily downvoted on YouTube, although YouTube are removing downvotes now. And in fact, all new videos being uploaded to all the new videos being uploaded to YouTube now don't have the ability to be downvoted. You can click downvote on them, but it doesn't show the downvotes. And this is to prevent any videos having visibly negative feedback on it like this, because advertisers don't want their videos, shops don't want their videos to have negative feedback on them. YouTube don't want videos like this with an agenda being pushed in them to have negative feedback displayed, only positive votes. So a video can have 2,000 positive votes and 40,000 downvotes. And as far as you would see, that video would be something that had been overwhelmingly positive. 2,000 upvotes, wow. But the downvotes are all hidden now. So, and YouTube have been manipulating this. Multiple people have said their votes, their downvotes have been removed because this was brought in before this change. And you can see, it's even been covered in the press that this video has been received very, very negatively. People don't like it. People don't want it. People don't like the agenda in it. But this is what's being forced upon us. And as you rightfully said, you only have to scratch the surface to find out who's behind it and who is behind this video. Well, it's a company called DDB. DDB stands for Doyle, Dane and Birnbach. These three men were the founders of DDB International Communications, which is an advertising company. They bought numerous other advertising companies around the world. Their London office is called Adam and Eve DDB. It's actually run by a woman who I didn't know at the time, but is in fact an Israeli. And the connection is there. The advertising company pushing it was founded by two Jews and, to my knowledge, a Gentile. The actual part of the advertising agency that came up with the advert is actually run by somebody who has Israeli citizenship, and she's obviously a Jew living in London. And the thing that's pushed in the advert is the Great Replacement. It is white genocide, but it's pushed to such a degree that normal people are noticing. So although I hate these adverts and I find them morally vile and morally repulsive, I've got to say the public are noticing and the public don't like it. I mean, I for one hope John Lewis goes out of business. And if you look at the CEO of John Lewis, John Lewis is actually now run by a black woman. It's run by a black woman. That's who runs John Lewis. And if you look it up on Wikipedia, I'm going to actually see who actually started it. John Lewis, let's see. It doesn't say anything about John Lewis himself, the guy who started it, being Jewish, although he was in the Liberal Party. He was an orphan, became an orphan at the age of 7. It doesn't say anything about him being Jewish. But I believe the woman who does run John Lewis, her name is Sharon White. She is not white, though. She assumed office on the 4th of February 2000, and she is Jamaican. Jamaican heritage. Her parents emigrated to the UK from Jamaica in the 1950s, and she is full-blooded non-white. She's both her parents were Jamaican, so I don't know whether that influenced the advert as well. May well have done. But you can see here there is a major agenda being pushed, and all of the people pushing it are people in Jewish-dominated companies, or in the advertising industry, or in the case of John Lewis, the chairman of that, somebody who no doubt will have had the final sign-off on this advert, is herself black.
So you say that there's a lot of pushback against it. What news organizations are reporting on the pushback? Where does one hear about the complaints regarding this advertisement?
Well, now that's interesting. I've seen a few things in the press, but it was actually Mrs. Mark who informed me that these adverts weren't going down well because she's on Facebook still. Now, I'm not on Facebook. I have been taken off Facebook some time ago. And as I've been taken off Facebook, I don't actually get to see a lot of gossip and news and things that are being shared. Obviously, once you're in the position sort of that myself or you are in, where we are taken off social networks, we do get into a position where we don't actually get to see what is really going on. And when you don't get to see what's going on, you're not going to see what's being shared and what people are commenting on it, you can end up a little bit out of touch with what the normies are saying. But I have been assured by her that there has been quite a lot of outcry about this, which obviously is a good thing. This is a very good thing. It's nice that people are pushing back against this, and this is obviously what we would want to see. And in that case, with that respect, I'm not sure whether these adverts, from our point of view, are a good or bad thing, because obviously we don't want anti-white adverts. We don't want these things to be pushed. We don't want these things to be mainstreamed by those who want to see us replaced, want to see us displaced. But at the same time, it is quite good when these things are pushed that so many people are saying, yeah, we've had enough of this. We don't want this. We're up in arms. And I personally hope that this hits John Lewis right where it hurts. I hope this absolutely decimates their Christmas takings. I would love to see that store in serious financial trouble after this Christmas advert, because as I said, of all the Christmas adverts I've seen over the years, and I have reviewed quite a lot, I've been doing it now for half a decade, believe it or not, half a decade of Christmas adverts, I am at a point where I can honestly say this is the worst.
So, okay, you know, you wonder with this, a black woman in charge of the corporation, because you get black women in charge of a lot of things where they're simply just appointed, and it's typically government stuff, or, you know, the elections where they're selected to be the mayor of Chicago or Atlanta or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, just by the establishment they're selected. And what can possibly go wrong running a city? But with these corporations, they actually have to turn a profit. And you haven't seen black, especially black women, in charge of corporations. So, because what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away.
The network thanks you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are back. All right, so you've got that lovely Christmas advert. What else is going on in jolly old Britain?
Well, despite being reassured several times by the Conservative Party government, we are now being told that, contrary to what they said before, and I'm going to read you a headline, actually, just to start this off. Rishi Sunak, this was on the 23rd of October, 2021. So this wasn't too long ago. It's less than a month ago. Rishi Sunak: Britain will not go into another lockdown this winter. And then a picture of Boris Johnson underneath that with a quote from him: nothing to suggest lockdown is on the cards soon. So this was less than a month ago. Britain will not go into another lockdown this winter. We were reassured. And I've actually taken these headlines from the same paper, the Evening Standard, which is the London Evening Standard. And that's a newspaper, obviously, in London, but because London is such a big city with over 10 million people, the London Evening Standard headlines get quite widely read outside of London. Now, here is yesterday's news, and this is on the London Evening Standard again. Stopping Christmas COVID lockdown in our hands, says Oliver Dowden. Chairman of the Conservative Party, Oliver Dowden, says it is in our hands to prevent COVID winter restrictions. So less than a month after assuring us there would be no COVID winter restrictions, we are now looking at COVID winter restrictions. And here's another headline. Now, this headline was altered yesterday, shortly after it went up. Boris Johnson issues desperate plea for Britons to get their COVID booster jabs Prime Minister says it would be an utter tragedy if double vaccinated people end up dying because of waning immunity, as all over 40s will now be invited for a top-up jab. Well, I haven't had any jabs, so I won't be invited for a top-up jab because I haven't had a jab.
Oh,
but
you haven't had your immune system destroyed by the jab, so you're fine.
Well, this to me is absolute madness. Not only are the Conservative Party less than a month after making their big pledge that we wouldn't be going into a winter lockdown, not only have they said we wouldn't be going into a winter lockdown, they are now saying that we now are looking or staring down the barrel of a winter lockdown. So it's gone from no winter lockdowns to like, oh yes, winter lockdowns. But we are now being told that it's in our hands. So we can avoid said winter lockdowns, but only if we're good little boys and girls. We can only avoid these winter lockdowns if we are, as I said, good little boys and girls. And good little boys and girls take their vaccines like good little boys and girls. And once they've taken their vaccines like good little boys and girls, they can stay out and play and they can enjoy Christmas. And you might be thinking, why am I talking in those silly terms? Why am I talking in that ridiculous way about this particular issue? And the reason I'm talking about it like that is because that is how it is. We are now being treated like naughty children. This country treats grown adults as if they were naughty children in regards to this particular issue. And it is actually quite shocking how we are treated or how we are being treated in regards to COVID, because we've gone from, you know, supposedly being the people who send elected representatives to Parliament. So we're the voters. We don't vote for school teachers. We vote for elected representatives who go to Parliament to represent us. But that isn't really the case anymore. That's just a horrible lie, really, isn't it? That's a horrible lie, because these people aren't representing us. They are treating us like we are naughty children now. And this COVID agenda really highlights it more than anything else, because the way they are talking to the electorate is an absolute, complete and utter scandal. To be spoken to as we are by people like Boris Johnson, people in the cabinet, other ministers, supposed health advisors, it's an absolute shocking scandal for these people to be speaking to us and saying, well, if you don't do X, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, who do they think they are? This is how you were spoken to when you were at school. When you were at school, your teachers would say things to you like, look, if you don't stop messing about, if people don't quieten down and stop making so much noise, you won't be allowed out for morning break. And you were spoken to like that by your teachers because they were in charge. They were your teachers. They were in charge of the class. They had to keep discipline. They weren't people who were your representatives. They were people in charge of you, in charge of disciplining you, in charge of teaching you. And they had to keep that situation up. They had to maintain that they were in charge of the class. And a teacher that let the class get unruly or go wild was generally seen to be a bad teacher, be a teacher who's lost control. But here, what we're seeing now is something where politicians are no longer seeing themselves as representatives of the people, but in fact, they're seeing themselves as if they're the masters of the people.
One would think that after all those world wars where we fought for our freedoms, it's a good thing, because it would even be worse if the other guys had won, I guess, right? Okay, whatever. All right, so we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Xtendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Xtendovite.
We're back, and of course, I was laughing in between. Could you imagine our fathers or grandfathers or uncles or whatever who were there in World War II, and they're fighting, they're doing the D-Day crossing, and somebody comes back and shows them the Christmas advert and lockdowns from the mild virus, and said, "This is what you're fighting for." Could you imagine that?
Well, it's interesting you talk about this, because it was Remembrance Day on Sunday, and on Remembrance Day we go and pay our respects to the war dead, to people who fought for this country, and all conflicts, but most notably the First and Second World War. And when I go to those events, I do often ask myself, if those brave young men who marched off to fight could see exactly what was going on in Britain today, how would they react? How would they feel about going and putting their life on the line? You know, were those people who were in the boats for the D-Day landings, were they really storming the beaches at Normandy because they wanted to ensure trans rights? Were they really storming the beaches of Normandy because they wanted their granddaughters to be exposed to Muslim rape gangs? Were they storming the beaches of Normandy because they wanted to see their descendants replaced in their ancestral homeland? Well, no, of course not. And I think now, if you went back in time and you actually said to those soldiers, if you actually could show those brave young men what Britain would become if they, quote unquote, won the war, they would have never got on those boats. In fact, they'd have walked up the beach with their hands in the air, shook hands with the Germans, reinforced them, and fought the Soviet menace. Because no one who laid down their lives in those conflicts, either the First or Second World War, was fighting for this. Now, I believe there were shady internationalists who were no doubt fighting for this. I believe there were people pulling the strings, people who wanted those wars, were getting those young men to fight for this. But none of the young men who laid down their lives would have wanted this. Or when I say none, let's not paint it in such a broad brushstroke. A tiny, tiny minority of people who would, a tiny minority of people may have looked at what's going on in the modern day and said, you know what, quite like that. A tiny minority, maybe 0.01%, maybe even less. But the vast, overwhelming 99.9% recurring majority of people who stormed those beaches on D-Day would not have wanted Britain to turn out like this.
Yep. Okay, let's move on now. You know, there have been a few in real life demonstrations in New York this past week, led by Nick Fuentes. I'm not going to go into these very, very much, but...
Oh, how did that go? We spoke about that a lot last week, and I said that, you know, obviously I'm a supporter of what Nick's doing, but I was a little bit worried that it might end in some kind of fracas. Was it a productive and peaceful event?
They were... So there were multiple ones. There was one at a Staten Island hospital that seems to have gone pretty well. You know, he can get 100 people to turn out or so, you know, several dozens. So,
well, that's good numbers. That's good numbers.
And then there was one in front of Pfizer headquarters in New York. The last one was in front of the mayor's house. Now, when they were in front of the mayor's house, he started speaking, and about maybe half hour into the speech, the Antifa did show up.
He gave a half hour speech outside the mayor's house.
Yep. And they were good speeches. I mean, the content...
No,
good stuff.
I wasn't saying that's a bad thing. It was just usually when we do flash demos like that, we try to... and again, I'm not having a go at him. I'm not saying he's done it all wrong or anything like that. But when we ever do those sort of flash demos, we try and conclude the speeches pretty quick smartish. So they're over and done and people can get away to avoid any form of drama.
Well, maybe that will be... something that will be incorporated in the future. So the Antifa did show up. Now, the police had been there. The police were there while he was speaking. And while he was speaking, you know, the America First, they will always start off and we back the blue and we support the police. But then after having laid that groundwork, Nick will say, but, you know, sometimes we're not sure if the police support us. Right. But he says, we're here and we're here to support the police who are being subjected to a vaccine mandate. Everybody boos. In fact, these policemen who have worked there in some cases decades, not only are they being threatened with being fired, but also losing their pensions and, you know, boo, boo. And of course, we support the blue boo, boo, you know, and so that's the tone. But then he'll say, of course, the vaccine mandates, they go beyond just the police. They're trying to vaccinate, you know, anybody who works for a company of more than 100 people or anybody this. And when it gets down to it, who is expected to enforce the vaccine mandate? Well, it's the police.
Can I just intersperse there? I've seen that you Biden has pushed for that, but the Supreme – I read on the news this morning the Supreme Court had just rejected that particular thing.
It was at the Supreme Court. I think it was a circuit court, so it could still go to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
I think it was a circuit court. And, of course, that doesn't prohibit companies from requiring a mandate. And I'm just paraphrasing Nick's Nick's speech.
Oh, sorry, carry on. Yes, carry on with the Nick's speech. Sorry to butt in. It was just that was one thing I did want to bring up with you today, obviously, because you've got an American audience. And I thought that that seemed to be quite good news.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine as far as it goes, but it doesn't prohibit companies from requiring the a vaccine as a condition of employment. It just prohibited the OSHA, the occupational safety and whatever, and health, whatever it is, administration, from enforcing it on these corporations. But the corporations have been, many corporations have been requiring it anyway. But as for Nick, and I'm not sure if he specifically brought up Biden's mandate, but he was saying that the police will be the ones who will be expected to enforce the mandate. And, you know, we've had your back. Are you going to have our back? And this type of thing, because sometimes we feel that you don't have our back. So it was you know, I thought it was a good strategy. Well, like I say, about, you know, 20, 30 minutes into the speech, the Antifa does show up. And the video I saw, because, you know, it's November here. I don't know what month it is where you are, but it's November here. And so it gets dark early, and it was hard to see exactly who was who and what was going on. There was one of Nick's black supporters was in a shouting match with one of the black Antifa, and Nick's black supporter had to revert to like hostile black yelling language, which is a type of, you know, it's its own particular kind of speech as he was getting into it with the Antifa. But Nick was saying, and Nick and his supporters started chanting, "Do your job" at the police, because the police were just standing by and letting the Antifa come in and be hostile. But it all ended well. One of the things that Nick said while they were in effect in a shouting match with these Antifa was, "You guys think you're revolutionaries? You're just Pfizer's bitches." And of course, the Antifa, they're just bitches for the establishment. They think they're revolutionary, but what in their program is different from Google? What in their program is different from that Lewis department store? You know, these are just establishment people, and
yeah, of course,
they've been brainwashed into thinking that there's something edgy and about it. But anyway, Nick finished up his speech, and then instead of doing the usual walk around and meet and greet, he said, "Let's just split up, go off in groups until you're in a safe location. Then you can go off personally, you know, as individuals, but let's make sure it's safe." So it all turned out well, probably a little bit of a learning experience, because we went through a period where people were making a point of asserting their First Amendment rights, even if it meant a guaranteed confrontation with Antifa. And, you know, Richard Spencer did that, and of course it kind of culminated in the Unite the Right rally, and these people who are in any way associated with the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville are currently in the midst of a civil lawsuit. Which it's not being covered very much, but I've been trying to follow it through Jason Kessler's Telegram feed, and actually it seems to be going better than I would have expected. But I'm not all the way up to date on it. But you've got Spencer and Chris Cantwell are representing themselves. They don't have lawyers, and so they're on the stand, either questioning or giving their own opening statements. More, they're a lot more visible than the other defendants in the case. And Chris Cantwell, because I guess he's just kind of reverting to comedian form, he seems to be, doing relatively well, at least amusing people. And I'm not so sure about Richard Spencer. I think he asked one of the in cross-examination, he asked one of the plaintiff's witness if he had ever read Aristotle or something like that. So it's hard to say exactly how that's going. But the other big trial, of course, is the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And that as we speak right now, the verdict has not been read, but this, you know, we're speaking now, it's quarter to 9 a.m. or no, quarter to 8 a.m. Central, and this is going to be announced, I believe, at 9. I guess court is reconvening 9 a.m. Central. So, like, in about an hour and 15 minutes, the verdict might be coming out. And it would be amazing if he's not acquitted on all counts, because the trial just the trial couldn't have gone worse for the prosecution.
Well, that is very good news. And look, I hope that Richard Spencer and Chris Cantwell, obviously, I hope they get off. I hope they manage to achieve what they need to achieve. My only worry is, and there's an old saying in the British legal system, is that a man who defends himself is a fool for his client.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as Richard Spencer pointed out, that he's been under attack for so long, he doesn't have any money for a lawyer.
Well, look, I think I made that comment as a bit of a sort of, it is a joke.
And I think
it is a known legal thing that, you know, the man who defends himself is a fool for his client. But, and this is obviously very important, with anything like this, it depends on the person. And in the past, people have defended themselves and it's been a disaster, but people have also managed to defend themselves and they have won their cases. Now, obviously, it would be nice if these guys did the business, and if they haven't got enough money for a legal representative, then again, they really don't have a choice. If they don't have a choice, they've got to go with what they've got. And if all they've got is themselves, well, you know, so be it. That is where they are. That is what they have to do. And obviously, I still wish them the best. I just think it's one of those things when, if you defend yourself, you potentially put yourself into a position where ultimately you could end up in a bad way. But I hope they win. I hope they win. And I hope if they do win, that they recover any out-of-pocket expenses or any expenses they've had to accrue because of the case, because we don't want to see them. You know, I don't think Richard Spencer is really my cup of tea anymore. I don't think that he is. I think he sort of strayed from what he once was, but I certainly don't wish him any ill, and I certainly don't wish him to see him get into trouble for this.
And so these aren't the only two defendants. There's at least a dozen, I don't know, somewhere between 12 and 20 defendants, and most of them do have some sort of lawyer. One of the guy's lawyers, I'm not sure which one, seems to be appearing via Zoom, and whenever he raises an objection, nobody hears it. So that's not actually working out that well. I mean, he's kind of literally phoning in the defense. So that's not very good. But some of the other lawyers seem to be on top of it. And the fundamental issue here is that they are being sued in civil court for having conspired to like a conspiracy for violence. And whatever you want to say about it, I mean, there was no conspiracy for violence. And so,
well, I don't know how this works, so maybe you could help me, because it would obviously help listeners here in the UK as well, if you could help me. But the issue here, from my point of view, if it works anything like a UK court, is a UK court has to prove that something happened beyond what is known as reasonable doubt. So there's always doubt. I mean, you could say, well, look, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, Your Honor. I mean, it looks like me. And all the CCTV footage does show somebody who appears to be me. And that is all well and good. And the DNA evidence was indeed DNA that matched mine. But what you haven't taken into account is that I have been cloned by aliens and they did it. Now, obviously, that would be seen as, you know, unreasonable doubt. You know, that would be seen as ridiculous and farcical. And although there is always a tiny, tiny percentage chance that something crazy has happened, it is highly unlikely. So we have this thing called reasonable doubt, and reasonable doubt, you know, it has to be beyond reasonable doubt. Now, is that the case with this kind of trial? Because I can't see how she can prove that they were planning violence beyond reasonable doubt, unless there has been some form of recording of these guys literally saying, we want this to end in a kickoff. Because
So here's the thing. It's a civil case. We're just about up on the break, but it's a civil case. The civil and a criminal case, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. In a civil case, you have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence. So it's a much lower standard.
So what we're saying here then, as this is a civil case, somebody who doesn't like the look of these guys could essentially just say, I've looked at the evidence, and although there is nothing that is rock solid, although none of them have actually called for violence, none of them have actually ever asked for violence, I just don't like these guys. So boom, they did it. Off you go. End of story. Is that what we're looking at?
It could be. Okay, well, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we are back, just finishing up on the whole Charlottesville case. So while the standard, the preponderance of evidence, is a much lower bar to have to clear than beyond a reasonable doubt, there's still it's a jury trial. I believe there's 12 jurors, and in the jury selection process, there's the lawyers for both sides are allowed to interview the prospective jurors, and they have a certain amount of strikes where they can say we don't want this person, and the plaintiffs used up their strikes pretty fast because all these jurors, these prospective jurors came up and they would be asked what they think of Black Lives Matter. And they were saying, oh, yeah, Black Lives Matter, that's like a terrorist group. And so there are people on the jury who have very negative views of Black Lives Matter, for instance. And so the prospect of at least one of them saying, nope, there's no connection here between the organizers and the deadly car crash, because actually so many of the plaintiffs or people who are injured in the car crash. And of course, there's no way you can draw a connection. So I had originally just been rather pessimistic about this trial, but as I'm reading about it, and I am kind of behind on keeping up with it, but I think it actually seems to be going reasonably well. So that's my report on it. What do you have for your audiences this week?
Well, we've got Patriotic Weekly Review, which goes live on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. Eastern. And that is going to be a very, very different show this week. It is not going to be the usual style of show. We're going to be having, rather than just a panel commenting on the news, we are going to be having a group of different nationalist business owners coming on the show to talk about their particular businesses and to discuss their businesses. So I think that's going to be quite interesting and something I'm particularly looking forward to. And then I will have my usual pre-recorded video out at the end of the week as per usual, but I've not quite decided what that's going to be on yet, so that's going to be a surprise.
Okay. Well, that all sounds very good. And any comments or thoughts about the trial going on in either of these places, whether it's Kenosha or Charlottesville?
Well, I just hope they all go the way that they should go. I mean, that's really all I can say. I hope that they go the way they should go.
Yeah.
And I hope thing happens.
Yeah, everybody's expecting Kyle Rittenhouse to be dismissed. The closing arguments for the prosecution, I mean, the prosecutors were just lying and lying, and it's so obvious, and they're not even trying to hide it. Charlottesville is not getting nearly the coverage, but if you were to have these two trials be decided the right way, I don't know. It's not as if we can really depend on the legal system, but it would certainly be a major white pill, so to speak. But anyway, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll see you same time next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.